This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, listeners. A couple episodes back, we crossed a very important milestone. 250 episodes. 250 episodes. That's almost 250 different search terms, 250 deep dives down different dirty rabbit holes, and probably triple that number of porn videos that we've considered, watched, reviewed, and/or rejected so that you didn't have to. Frankly, my genitals and my eyeballs are a little sore from it all. Thank you. Thank you to those of you who have been with us since the beginning. Oh my God, that's wild to imagine. Thank you to those of you who are new to the show and just joining. Thank you to those of you who treat us like part-time lovers. You're not listening to every episode as soon as it comes out, but maybe you pop by for a quickie every now and again. That's honestly perfectly fine by us. We're proud of our show and our humble efforts to dismantle shame, destigmatize sex work, spread sex positivity throughout the land, and hopefully bring more pleasure and joy to the masses. Hey, you know, by the way, if you're ever looking for a way to commemorate your fanship or to support us in making another 250 episodes, oh my God, is that possible? Is there even enough porn to sustain us? We have a Patreon. You've heard me talk about it. You can subscribe for as low as $3 a month. And we have perks like merchandise discounts. Did you know we have merchandise? Blooper reels, extra clip reviews, thirst traps seem to be very popular. And we've even started a series that we call The Pre-Cum, which is basically a bonus podcast. Rachel and I hop on before we record our episodes and we shoot the shit about our latest sexual adventures and also answer questions submitted by listeners like you. That's right, you can genuinely ask us anything and we'll honestly probably respond. We've yet to encounter a question we couldn't handle. Gauntlet thrown, famous last words. You can find us at patreon.com/girlsonporn.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Rachel.
I'm Laura.
And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and we roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything. So we don't have sex news, but we do have a guest.
We do. We have a wonderful guest. A long-awaited guest.
Yeah.
Chad Sanders.
Hello, hello.
Welcome, welcome. Chad is an author, screenwriter, and podcast host known for his book Black Magic, and as the host of his podcasts Nothing But Anarchy, available everywhere, and Yearbook on the Armchair Expert Network. Chad's writing can be found in the New York Times, Time, and Fortune, among others. Chad was also the host of the Audible original podcast Direct Deposit, and a writer for ABC Freeform's Grown-ish and HBO Max's Rap Shit. Hey, Chad.
Hi. Hello.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh my God. I'm
going to repeat what I said before we started, which is that I have wanted to come on, I think, since y'all start. When did you all start? I've been trying to tell people
like
when you all started.
2018? 2019?
Years ago. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
We've been at this for
a
minute.
Awesome.
I'm dying to know what you're like. Why do you want to come on? What are you itching to talk about?
You know what? I've been walking around thinking about that since it's now here. It's like I asked 6 years ago, and then when Amanda was like, I don't know, we touched base on it like a month ago.
Yeah.
One is when y'all started. I just thought that the concept was perfect. I was like, we should have a show about porn, and there should be two ladies like walking us through it so that it, you know, I just don't want to hear two dudes talk about porn for an hour.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And neither do I.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, you can get that anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think it's scary. I'm like, even then when you all started the show, I was like, that's pretty brave for the two of them to do a show about porn. And I'm actually really curious about, like, it seems like you all are so comfortable with it now, but in the beginning, was it super nervy for y'all?
I have to say, I feel like we kind of gravitated towards each other as friends because we are so comfortable talking about things, specifically like sex and porn in general. We just were born without those filters, or we just decided to like rebel against them because like society wanted us to have those filters. And we said, no, that's stupid. Because we were, I don't know, I always talk about how I was like the horny girl at the sleepover that was like, do you guys want to watch Unfaithful, you know? Like, would you guys want to watch Stay Up Late and watch Skinamax, you know?
Yeah,
I just have sort of always felt very comfortable, and it always felt very natural to me. And I think that was, like, one of the main goals of the pod was to kind of, like, help spread that comfortability around the topic.
Yeah, I think I was raised to be candid about sex and to be like, this is just something that we talk about. I will say that there were definitely some nerves when we like went out with a podcast, because it's one thing to be at a party and to talk to someone about their sex life and to just be like really comfortable with your own friends or in like a contained environment. But when we started, we weren't using our last names.
Yeah.
I was kind of working in the corporate space. I still kind of do, and was always like afraid that people would like Google me and porn would come up first because that is a risk. Like that is essentially a liability that we took on. And since then, there has been some fallout for me. Like, my father is pretty Christian, and was it, like, I didn't tell him about the podcast. I told my mom about it. And then later, right after I came out to him as queer, one of my cousins told him about the podcast. Wow. And I was, like, planning to get to the podcast. I was like, let me do my sexuality first, and then we'll get to the podcast. And it was tough. But ultimately, it was fine because I'm always going to be this open person. And the reason that we started this podcast is to destigmatize and to dismantle shame. So it was actually kind of great to go into that one lingering dark corner in my life where I was like, my dad doesn't know about this. He's the only person that isn't aware about this aspect of my life. And I just want it all out in the open. And as much as it was a tough conversation, like it wasn't really a relationship lost because we were never super close on that front. And also because we're now just kind of like, we care about each other, but like in a sort of safe, stay out of certain territory way, which is as much as I needed or wanted from that relationship to begin with. So it's, he certainly doesn't support me. He's not a fan of this, of the podcast, but he's still my dad, and he, and we've like figured out how to navigate that with some boundaries, I guess.
Oh man, that's it's really brave. I was just okay. Another reason why I am nervous. I said before we started that I was nervous, and
yeah, let's talk through it.
Well,
let's work it out, baby.
There's a bunch of reasons.
Of course.
One of them is like I am used to doing these shows and like being the MC, basically.
And of course, yeah.
I'm less used to being the guest.
And I know, you came out swinging with asking us questions.
I was like, oh, we're having a podcaster on. Like, we asked him a question and he countered with a question. Yeah. Brilliant work there.
Well, because when we also worked on a movie together, a short film the three of us did with Amanda and a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
And I was always curious about your journeys, and I get like little bits and pieces from Amanda.
Yeah.
But another thing I see is you all being the face of this, which also includes you all like modeling for it, I would is how I would put it. And like I have gotten more comfortable over the last few years being the face of stuff. But even but like that in and of itself is a journey. And then the thing that you all are the face of is something centering around porn. So I don't know. I just was like, I want to go in there and like see what's really going on. That's why I wanted to come on here.
I think another also, I know we talked about like destigmatizing and getting rid of shame or whatever, but also giving like respect to like sex work and porn is another like goal for us.
Yeah.
Because for so long, porn has been the scapegoat. It has been the worst possible thing in the world. You know what I mean? Like we blame so many problems on porn. And I think that that's unfair. I think that it's unfair that sex work has so much negativity attached to it. I think it's one of the like boldest, bravest, most vulnerable professions you could possibly do. And I think that people sort of conflate the idea of sex work with sex trafficking. And that's just not always the case. I mean, not to say that there aren't issues within the porn industry. I mean, of course there are issues with the film industry, with any sort of industry. But, you know, there is also some really good stuff out there, too. And I think that that's important for people to know about.
Yeah.
That,
I watched this Juno Temple movie last night from 2013. It's called Afternoon Delight. She plays a 19-year-old stripper. Have you seen this movie?
I know, remember it, because Catherine Hahn was in it, too. And I love her.
And she, so Catherine Hahn, like, kind of wants to save Juno Temple from, like, sex work and from stripping. And she brings her home into her family. And it's actually, she wants Juno Temple to save her.
Yeah. Mm.
But, like, the landing point on the film, coming off of what you just said, Rachel. The landing point in the film is that, like, she brought a sex worker into their home and it almost like destroyed their home and their community or whatever. And I was like, this isn't a very nice message.
No.
This feels very 2013. Yeah. So I feel you. I feel what you're saying, Rachel. Don't like it.
For sure. Yeah. It's important, you know?
Yeah. And like part of what we want to do with the show is like I used to feel guilty watching porn and like was looking for like what that guilt was about. Right. And it was always like rooted in like, are these people safe? Like I sort of know cognitively that sex is okay. So why do I feel dirty watching it? Because society tells us that that can only be a bad thing, that like porn is a place where feminism goes to die, like all of these sort of preconceived notions. But when you really look at the fact that like we're all just kind of sexual creatures, not all of us, but like the vast majority of us are sexual creatures who like are stimulated by watching sex. So you're like, okay, well, that's gonna exist. Let's go into that space and let's look at the power dynamics. Let's look at the way that stereotypes are blown out in porn because people are watching stuff privately so you can really see what they want to watch as opposed to what they might tell you when they know the eyes are on them. Mm. And like, I think that shame is so destructive in our society that it's like shaming porn doesn't solve the problem that you think you see.
Mm. Yeah.
Actually, like the marginalization makes those problems worse. So that's so much the work we want to do.
Right.
And the last thing I'll say is that, like, it's been an interesting journey for us. Like you said, like, we're the faces of this. And I almost wasn't prepared for that. Like, I think a fun sort of silver lining of this has been, like, thoughtifying my social media, largely at the inspiration of Rachel. Like, she was kind of already out there, like, being like, I'm a fucking hottie and I'm a baddie and I'm proud of it. And I was like, I shall also post a sexy picture, but I will make an intellectually self-deprecating caption to go with it. And like, it's been actually really fascinating to kind of grapple with that personally and be like, am I allowed to leverage this currency where I get 800 likes on a thirst trap versus 30 likes on a beautiful picture of the mountains that I think is cool?
Yeah.
You know, like when you feel that sort of pull and the power in that, like what is it to like flirt with that and to leverage that, at least in the social media space, because we all sort of do in our lives. And it's interesting to do that like on display and to be like, I'm not just this smart good girl that I can kind of code switch into in like other environments. Like it's been really interesting to poke at that and sort of explore it.
Huh.
Yeah, like your sexuality can also be like an outward expression. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It can be like a physical, visible representation. It doesn't need to just be something that we talk about.
Has the thought of, I like the, I thirst trap a lot on the internet. Like that's, I think that's a part of the whole, like this is part of the game. Especially if you're in business for yourself. Like you gotta, you have to get eyeballs however you can get them. You gotta get, people looking for your shit however you can get it. I'm just curious, like has the thoughtification of your socials, has it had an impact on your actual social lives? Like, does it come up among your friends? Like, do you see it? Does it affect your dating life? Like, I don't know.
You know, I feel like it has affected my dating life to a certain degree. I feel like I talk about this all the time. I'm like, so many people want to have sex with me, but like no one wants to date me, you know? I mean, there are also other factors, I'm sure, in that. But I think that that's also just always kind of been me, you know? It's like kind of always who I've been.
Huh.
So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people who are like, why don't you start an OnlyFans? Why don't you do XYZ? Yeah. And it's like, well, if I didn't have crippling body dysmorphia, then like maybe I would. But like that's how I deal with it, is like posting like a hot picture and people being like, you know, I get like outward gratification from it. And like that's how I deal with it. Mm. Yeah. I don't know if that answered the question, but
it's hard to know. I think, Rachel, I'm like feeling what you're saying because like I wonder, like I posted a thirst trap the other day and I lost a chunk of followers and was like, wait a minute, I thought that's what you're fucking for. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm like what you're here for, not what you're for. But I was like, who am I losing? Am I losing people that forgot they followed me, that like don't know who I am and followed me randomly? Or is it like my own people who are like tired of seeing my ass or whatever? Like I think through that like every time I post, and I don't really want to have much of a relationship with social media, but I basically do for the podcast at this point.
Yeah.
And like I've had friends comment and be like, I fucking love that you post those hot pictures. Like I've had women specifically be like supportive of it and be like, fuck yeah, like do it, you know? But I don't think the people that criticize it are like, whoa, like Laura took a left turn there. Like, what's she up to these days? Like, I don't know if they would say anything, but I also don't think that I care because I think they probably come from a pretty sex negative space because most people are like, wow, it seems like the podcast is doing well. And I'm like, really, it's a really cool thing that you're doing. Like, if they understand what the genuine effort of the show is. As far as dating life, I've kind of had... I don't know. I think I've had like the benefits, whereas like Rachel's still feeling like,
I was like, you're flourishing.
I'm killing it. Yeah. I have a great personal life.
You're literally flourishing.
I think partially because, I mean, my primary partner right now, like I think was largely drawn to the fact that I am sex positive and can really rationalize that and that I reject so much of the oppression and the stigma. Like, I think there was something really freeing in that, that he was actually drawn to. So there's kind of a benefit there. But yeah, at the same time, I think about like looking for jobs and being like, are people looking at my Instagram and seeing my ass and being like, this isn't a professional I can take seriously. Like, there's always going to be that kind of negotiation. Right. For me, like that's exactly that journey that like, that's exactly what I think about every time I post or like, as I continue to make this podcast is like that cost benefit analysis. But ultimately I'm incredibly proud of what we do and the messages we get from people who are like, this has been so important. I'm also coaching now, like I'm a sex and intimacy and like relationship coach. So I'm working on a certification in that and I've moved into working with people individually. And it's a good reminder of like how pervasive that shame is and how pervasive that stigma is because people struggle simply with watching porn privately, let alone talking about it or like airing that in a public way or like even to their friends. So I think what we do is worth it, even if a couple people I know might be like, slut.
Yeah.
You know?
But all that comes down to the people that are like, slut, or like the people that are like, oh, I don't know if I can take this person professionally, like seriously professionally. It's like, well, all that comes down to, if you really like dig down, it's like shame, you know, is like the little thing at
it's
the very
own
end.
Shame.
Yeah.
And it's such you ladies will. You'll just be like, Chad, stop. If I'm taking this too far, because I have you know what? I'm going to stop right now.
Okay. I have a question for you, Chad.
Yeah, go for it. Right.
What has your porn journey been like?
Yes. Okay. I was thinking about this when you were talking about how we're all sexual. Most of us are sexual creatures. We like to watch other people, et cetera, et cetera. What it triggered for me or what it sparked for me was like, it made me remember that I started watching porn before I started having sex, which I think is the case for most people in our generation or younger.
Mm-hmm.
And that, unfortunately, that created a concept of sex for me that I had to like,
unlearn.
Literally take like a decade or longer to wind back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still winding it back in a lot of ways, probably.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm sure you all have covered this ad nauseum on this show, but it was such a very like penetration emphasizing, you know, male pleasing, male dominant, almost like
performative, athletic.
Oh my God. I can't, and maybe it, in some ways, maybe it turned me off to certain things. Like we'll get into this, I guess, when we look at the clips, but I don't love to see like a brolic dude with a 12 pack, like, you know, that's not what I'm in it for. So
sure, yeah, of course.
I'll say, like, I think the first time I ever watched porn, I was probably, when I was like 11 or 12, the movie Leprechaun had a scene where a dude is in the garage. He hears something in the garage. I'm watching this. It's like a sleepover with my friends. Like, it's like me and my five friends from Cub Scouts.
Yeah.
We're watching this dude. He's in the garage. He's looking for wherever this sound is coming from. And then he sees, I guess, the girl that he has a crush on. And she's naked. Like, it's just her top half. And she's like kind of luring him in. And he goes over to touch her breast. And it's like the leprechaun has done a mirage and this crazy choppy fan is actually her breast. And it like saws his whole body off. It like saws his face off and he explodes into blood. We must have rewound that clip like 15 times that night and just kept rewinding it because we're just like, we were like a boob. And there was no Napster. There was no there was no Kazaa. Mm-hmm. And then after that, my friend Mari, who was like kind of the kid who always was, he always like had stuff early. You know, the kid whose parents kind of like.
There's always someone that has
Someone that has a box, has a shoebox of porn. Yeah.
He had the video cassettes in his, in like the air shaft in his room. He would like hide the video cassettes in there. So one time, like, he lets me watch some porn. And it was, you know, my first interactions with porn were like waiting 10 hours for a 4-second clip on Kazaa to download and then like going in my dad's office and using his office computer to do the thing. So
I know. It's so funny that like kids now like don't understand like the tension, you know, the anticipation that we had to deal with, you know.
The hunt, the like feverish, like waiting for like a naked body to load on early AOL.
Exciting.
And you're downloading it without a real trailer, without like you might
knowing
download
what it
based
is.
Off exactly. You're downloading off of keywords, and then when you when it finally shows up, like it might completely not be what you want it to be.
You're like, this is what I get.
I do like. I almost like feel bad for generations that didn't have that though, because that taboo makes it hotter. Whereas like just being able to watch porn entirely is almost. Like, I don't know if we're a couple years off, Chad, but, like, I was in AIM chat rooms. Like, I was... It was just teases. It was, like, little tastes and teases before I, like, watched a full porn, you know? Yeah. And it, like, watching a full porn was like, whoa! You know, like, it was, like, this jackpot kind of moment. And I think, like, now it's, like, kids can fully just, like, hop on those sites. And as much as, like, we have a lot of really complicated conversations on this show about how that should work and, like, a lot of, like... ineffective laws and rules around it, there is a bummer in like just being exposed to like the intensities that is the free aggregate sites. Like I don't like to go on those sites and see the ads for like older women in your area. Pump up your load.
This grandma wants to fuck you now, you know.
Here's an anime like sort of double sexed creature with like the biggest cock you've ever seen and also the biggest tits. And it's like, is any like your experience you describe of feeling like what is I had to unlearn what sex is. That's a real challenge. The problem arises when society is like, yeah, because porn is bad. It's like, no, we need sex education. Like, porn shouldn't be responsible.
Porn literacy,
The same way we need social media literacy and we need to, like, gently dip into those waters for any kid who's growing up and defining their self-worth based on what they're consuming, there needs to be education around, like, porn is like watching the Olympics
it's
and saying,
fantasy.
Let's teach you to ride a fucking bike. You know, like it's incredibly intense. So,
But I think that younger generations understand that because that's why we saw such a big rise in like amateur and content creators and like things that look like reality in real life.
Yeah. Believable chemistry, like real human bodies. Yeah.
Gen Z is like now having like less sex than ever. And they're all like actually like, I don't know, there was like an article recently that was like New York Times or something was like Gen Z is looking for love.
Yeah.
You know, like we're now going in that direction where like they've been experienced to like the generations before of like everyone just like fucking whoever and having like meaningless sex. And now they're like, actually, I want like a romantic connection and intimacy and... things like
that. And that brings me back to I had so there was that on the one end there was like this very I think especially the porn that like little boys are passing around and also just that it was so I guess at that time like the search engine optimization would just send you kind of the most like Olympic style sex like as you described it and then on the other end of the spectrum if I was awake at 2 o'clock in the morning and I found the right channel, there would be like this like smooth jazz soft porn stuff that would be on. Where like you might see a little bit of nudity, but you don't see any like, you know,
like and movement. No meat shots.
And then that made sex seem more like this almost like erotic, gentle dance between two people. And so I guess to answer the first question, I think porn has... until maybe like the last 5 years of my life. So, and for anybody listening, I'm 35. So until I was like probably in my 30s, it was kind of a cause for confusion for me mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. Like, it was kind of a cause for self-comparison in some ways that weren't great, like confusion, not understanding totally why the women in the video were enjoying something that women in real life didn't seem to want, or vice versa. So I think, like all film, it was a confusing reflection on society for me for most of my life. Yeah.
Did you feel comfortable having conversations with your partners about that stuff when it came up? Or was that kind of part of your journey, is like to learn to ask someone what they're into and to learn to not make those assumptions? Or like, what was your approach?
I didn't feel comfortable with that until whatever this section of adulthood is, that I think we're all in the same section of it. Like, whatever this section is, now I feel comfortable with it. Yeah. I think that the pressure that I lived under to like already have it all figured out in my head, like the pressure that I either felt or was projecting to have it all figured out and to not be insecure or to not ask a stupid question about sex to a partner, or like one that would like accidentally offend them or something like that kept me from having those conversations. And also, if I'm just being like totally honest, like I think the fear of being vulnerable to somebody who was more experienced than me was also something that kept me from like being completely, you know, completely real. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I would say the same thing about my 20s. And I think for me, sex was a performance for many years. Like we talked about like the performativity and like porn, but in my personal life too, it was like, this is something I'm good at. I'm going to read all the Cosmos. I'm going to read the fucking Maxim articles about the craziest blowjob this guy got.
Right.
And I'm going to try that shit and just try to like blow people's minds.
The word on the street has to be that I am good in bed, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not my about reputation, whether or not I come. It's like whether or not like I am good.
No, exactly. My reputation must precede me. And for years I didn't come with anyone else. I would just like tell them I was having an incredible time. Yeah. And then that's actually what I looked at, was like, wait a minute. Like, is it bad that I'm not orgasming except for when I'm masturbating? Why don't I work on that? And it was almost like, oh, duh, because I'm just doing this for their sake and I'm just trying to be good at it rather than trying to be present to it, which are things that go hand in hand, but one can definitely corrupt the other.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to one thing you said, Chad, about like not wanting to watch people with 45 abs and crazy steroids pumping through their veins. Is that connected to... We're going to talk about the videos in a second, but I want to talk about milking table, basically.
Yes,
I want to talk about,
we
like,
talked about the topic.
What do you seek out in porn? Yeah.
That's so funny. I think it must be, right? Like, I'll start with the self-comparison piece.
Yeah.
I think I do a natural, like, human, like, inserting myself as the guy when I watch porn, kind of. Like, I just, like, match. I'm like, all right, I'm him now, like kids do when you, like, go through a picture book and you're like, I'm him.
Yeah.
And so, like, to jump ahead a little bit, like, if the guy has a giant parade float dick, I'm like, I'm out. I'm just like, this is going to take, it takes me out of the dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have what he has. I'm out. And like, so... whatever else is happening here, like, I can't match it. Like, I don't feel like a match to it. I need, like, I like two people that look like real people. That's generally what I'm looking for. And two or three or four or however many we're going. But, like, I like people that look like real people. The milking table thing, I have spent some time with that trying to understand what do I like about that. Because to describe it to the audience, anybody who hasn't seen it, as, and I've described it to several people over the last 48 hours, like, it's basically a dude, it's like a dude face down on a massage table. Think about it that way, except like spin him around 180 so that instead of his face going down through the hole of the massage table, like it's his penis that's sticking through there. And then, and it's generally like his whole package, like, you know, it's the whole
dick and balls
thing.
Yeah.
Dick and balls.
Although you get, Chad, that there's a, we've cut a hole in the middle of the table.
Yes,
right?
I mean, it's not going exactly where the face goes, but so
it's a glory hole on a table, you know?
Exactly.
They're sometimes called glory hole tables.
It's a horizontal glory hole. And like, for all intents and purposes, the guy is kind of a prop. Is that fair to say? Like, he's barely even there. It's just his hard thing, like, sticking through the table. And then... there is a woman beneath it, and the entire... I also, like, love that you all are, like, your entertainment, your TV people, because I'm like, oh, this is an interesting frame here. It's like she's down there. You can't see the guy.
The composition of it.
Because, and the two videos you sent me had such very different sets. But like most of what I'm watching or what one is watching there, it's just a woman. I wouldn't even just say like fellating. It's just like she's doing all kinds of stuff.
She's going to town.
Yeah, she's going to town.
She's tugging, she's sucking, she's milking,
she's
playing with the balls. She's getting in there.
Yeah.
I think what you're getting at for the viewer is that it's like, it's hard to believe that this person wouldn't want to be there because they're like looking like they're there. You know what I mean? Like they're not like, sometimes you're like, okay, while you're watching this, you're like, oh, I don't know if they're having fun or like, oh, you know what I mean? Like it's looking a little rough, you know, like the woman who's typically like being aggressed against, you know what I mean? Like she is in charge.
Completely.
And also there's also something about it that I think is fascinating. There's sort of like an impersonality to it where like me and Laura talk all the time about how we like a relationship or tension, but there's all of that is lacking. So it's almost like kind of just like focuses on the genitalia. Like there's almost like no person attached, you know? Yeah.
It's like a cow. It's like a cow being milked. Like the cow doesn't say anything. Yeah.
It's objectifying just the penis, you know?
But it also like, it removes the opportunity for the story of the porn to fail.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like we're just doing transactional dick milking. Like we're just playing with the cock here, like, or the cock and balls, but we're not like... But why does she, but does she want, like, did we start with a massage, which like sometimes we do, and we'll talk about that in a second, but like just the pure framing of like, we're under the table, it's happening, is like purely the sex act, which I think is what a lot of people come for, right? It's like, they just want to see the genitalia, they want that, and they don't actually want to get into the weeds of the chemistry, the tension, whether like, what was the interaction before this all happened? And they just want to see like, raw play. Like you just want to see the sex act itself.
And I like, there is a performance aspect to it that doesn't, it's not like performance of a fake orgasm. It's like, it's performance in the way that there actually is oftentimes performance in oral sex. Like,
And the dedication and the enthusiasm is like a kind of performance because this isn't about someone fucking with such enthusiasm that they're going to make themselves come. This is about someone sucking a dick with so much enthusiasm.
Because they enjoy it.
Like,
they enjoy it. And I think there's also something, I mean, for people who are into the actual sex act of like a milking table, we talk about this like when they're like blindfolds and things like that. It's like the lack of stimulation everywhere else just kind of makes you focus on the stimulation of like, you know, the head, the hand job, whatever it is that they're receiving, that it makes it that much more heightened.
Yeah, that guy's on a table. Like, he can't even see. He couldn't see if he wanted to.
Yeah, and it's sort of like a sensory overload, you know?
Yeah, and I think, Laura, that you mentioned, I forgot who mentioned it, but it's like, most of the time, the guy doesn't even talk. Like, he doesn't get to say anything. He doesn't get to direct. It's just like, you are, but they always find a way. Like, they always find a way to make it happen. And he doesn't have to, like, I don't know. I just like it. Do you guys like it?
I like it because there are a lot of times when I'm watching, because like I'm someone who is a giver and I like love to give and I like to watch other people who like to give. But I don't like watching porn sometimes when the person with the penis is like face fucking them or shoving their head down or like moving their head in a way that I'm like, I don't want you to do that. You know what I mean? Like, so that I feel safe watching milking table porn because they're doing all of the action.
Yeah. I now can't remember if we were talking about this before we started rolling or not, but there's also something safe in the genre because it removes also that possibility of assault. Like, you know, we don't know when we're watching porn if someone is face fucking someone, if that was discussed before they started shooting, or is that male performer just like taking it upon himself to be like, yeah, go fucking do this. Like, does she like that? And we spend a lot of time wandering the murk of like, well, this is a company where they discuss consent before they start shooting. Whereas like, sometimes you just find something on the internet and you're like, I don't know. I hope it's all right. And because this is a milking table, like, he can't. He's bound. Like, he can't do anything. I mean, we'll get to it after the break. There is one moment where, like, the guy reaches around and, like, touches the woman, and she's like, no.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, because she can just be like, don't. You know, like, in this space, it, like, eliminates so much of the, like, danger zone. I also think there's something to be said for receiving. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Rachel, like for the guy on the table. For me, I imagine that would be a great release to be like, I don't have to do shit. Like, I'm literally not required. I'm not performing at all. And I know there's like not a world where I'm going to suddenly be obligated to. This is actually just about me receiving. It's not about my body. It's not about my like potential self-consciousness or my like, am I doing this well enough? I can literally just receive. And I think there's an incredible appeal in that too.
It's sort of a sneaky way. It's a sneaky way for a man to experience being submissive.
You know? It relieves a level of having to manage or be the boss of anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't even fake any level of arousal. Like, she's going to have a complete understanding of how aroused you are or are not by how it's going.
Yeah.
You just don't have to fake it. You just don't have to, like, you don't have to perform it at all. The whole performance is happening through your penis and that's it, basically.
Yeah.
Should we take a little break before we get into the videos?
I think that's a perfect stopping point. Yeah, let's take a little break. We'll be right back.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
So the first video that we're going to talk about is called Replace My Pump. We found this on Adult Time, directed by Barrett Blade, starring Tommy Gunn and Trillium. And I got to say, there's a bit of a storyline here, which I thought was an interesting choice for a milking table porn.
Mm-hmm.
We open on Tommy Gunn talking to Trillium, being like with like full like printed out photographs of a crime that was committed.
He has a crime document. He's got a file folder.
I was like, is he a detective? Is she like working with him? Like, what's going on? And then he's like, yeah, it's a little embarrassing. You know, I was like, who is she to him? Like, what's the relationship? And he's like, basically, this guy stole my penis pump. And I was like, oh, maybe she's the detective. Like, and then I was like, but that she can't be. I was like, she can't be the detective. She's wearing like a neon fishnet bodysuit. I mean, I don't know. I mean, who knows? But yeah, so he's basically over explaining that someone stole his penis pump out of his car and he really needs it to achieve an erection. So now he's seeing Trillium and she's going to try to help him relax and see if they can manually stimulate him to get hard.
I will say that I was pretty clear off the bat that she was a sex worker, but okay. Only because guys bring all their problems to sex workers.
Yeah, of course.
I was like,
they're like,
is this a therapy session?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she's just going to suck his dick at the end. He was like, yeah, life's been really hard lately. My car was broken into. So I'd love a blowjob. Like, that is the work.
That is
half the time.
Yeah.
Okay. But have you all explored in this show? I do not need these storylines at all.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need them. Why do they exist?
I think that there's there's so much content out there, and it's trying to, like, figuring out, like, how to, like, feed the beast. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, how to make things stand out.
Okay.
And also, yeah. I think it's helpful because there are some people that want to have, like, a relationship. They want to know the relationship between these two people, which I think is important. Like, knowing that, like, he's going to see her for, like, a transactional thing.
Okay.
It's also a journey of production trends, which will yes. kind of fascinate your brain as a yes. entertainment person, Chad. I think that, like, so decades ago, during the, like, the boom of porn and, like, yeah. leading into the porn chic era, like the 1970s, there was a law enacted that said you had to incorporate story in order yes. to accommodate this, like, anti-smut law.
They had to have artistic integrity.
Yeah, artistic integrity, artistic merit, or
yes,
I forget
yeah.
exactly what the word, like, what the wording was.
Yeah.
But essentially, the reason we saw feature porns for so long was that they're like, there has to be a story here.
Yes.
We can have them fuck every scene, but we need to, like,
have a plot line.
Demonstrate artistry and have a plot line.
Yeah.
So that has, that kind of distilled into scene porn and, like, mm-hmm. VHS stuff, and then that turned into, like, clips and scenes on the internet. The same way that, like, our attention spans have diminished.
I see.
The porn world's, like, moved to shorter and shorter content. Now there's no, like, legal obligation for the scene to exist, but there are still these studios that make scene porn.
Yeah. Mm.
And a lot of those studios are like, okay, so we're still doing, like, scene porn, but, like, milking tables are big. What if we combine? The other thing you'll see is that they'll be like, how do we get 8 trends into yes. one video to maximize popularity?
Okay. Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes in the title, it'll be like, redhead, squirting, mm-hmm. bondage. Like, it'll list, like, 40 things.
Hot
and you're
wife.
Like, wow,
yeah.
Jesus. Like, it's all of it.
Cheating.
You know?
Yeah.
In this case, I think we're sort of combining the genre of, like, the happy ending massage uh-huh. with milking table with a scene with, like, notable performers. Uh-huh. We're paying for these performers. Let's make it a scene. We're going to do a long ass shoot. So we can do this as, like, an hour that we sell behind the paywall.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to do a 10-minute video that yeah. we're going to put on the aggregates. And they're sort of, like, shooting for all of it. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's like, we're like, why do we have all this story that we don't necessarily need? And we're giving you, like, the half hour version that's on, like, a subscriber site, so we're getting
yeah.
the full version, essentially.
Okay.
And they'll clip yeah. it down for, like, an aggregate, so it's basically, like, the aggregate, you get, like, a 7-minute version of that that's, like,
yeah.
free.
Just the milking table yeah. and her just jerking him off, you know?
Okay. Because, I mean, I almost always am trying to find the exact point where the storyline is over and it becomes sex. And
they
also
have markers,
like, they do have markers, which is helpful, but mm-hmm. they also, like, they give the impression that when you are a mechanic and you go to fix somebody's house, that, like, in 3 minutes you all will strike up a chemistry and then be doing doggy style on the floor,
yeah.
which is another thing that is bad. That was bad for me to
yeah.
think was how sex happens when
sure.
I was 12. But,
yeah.
but do you all have favorites? I know these people have, their names are a part of the cell in all
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you all have favorites now? Because you've been doing
yeah, of course.
On this journey. Did you have favorites before you started?
I did, yeah. Before I started this, yeah, for sure. Like, porn stars yeah. that I would specifically search for.
I definitely acquired more since doing the show.
Who are they?
I mean, before we started the show, like, I was watching, like, everything that Owen Gray was in.
Okay.
Because he doesn't do really any storyline porn. You know, it's just, like, him and his home fucking a bunch of different porn stars and with a Hitachi wand, and I was like, hot, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our favorites make a lot of appearances on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey Maude, Vex Ashley. I miss Amarna Miller. We haven't talked about her in forever, and I don't know if she's
yeah.
still doing porn, but she was a favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Stoya's incredible and was yeah. fantastic to talk to on the show. Michael Vegas, mm-hmm. Susie Sue. Small Hands. We were just
yeah.
talking about Small Hands the other day. He's sort of like,
yeah.
he's cornered
That's
the market on, like, a specific kind of dominant. It's an incredible name, especially in porn. It's like
yeah.
the best joke, you know?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Lucas Frost. Yeah.
Yeah. So how'd you feel about this video once you got past the story element of
yeah.
it, Chad?
All right. So that is my favorite type of, let's like taking the people out of it. That's my favorite sort of backdrop setting, lighting.
Oh, like bright.
Yes, like bright, but like the lighting is not a part of it. It's not trying to be like, you know, it's not trying to say something with the lighting. It's just trying to like be clear. And it also, I feel better when I watch a well-lit porn production, one that looks like, I feel better when it looks like, you know, safe. Like I feel better when it looks like the people were treated as actors or something when they were there.
It was, it's a professional set. There's like, there was like someone that was lighting it. There was a grip, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like,
but it doesn't have to be an artistic statement so much as you're just like, I can see everything. And like, clearly somebody put up a, like a lighting kit and left it at that, you know?
Not like the flash on top of a camera that like Gonzo sort of like created, you know, like the Seymour Butt style where it's like everywhere the camera goes, there's like this bright light above it, you know?
Yeah. And like this, the sound is good. Like the sound is a big part of the experience. Yeah. And the sound was a big part of this one to me. Like you can hear everything that's happening very clearly. I did like it. I like, I personally lately like a high ratio of hand action to mouth action.
Yes, there was a lot of hands. Yeah.
There was a lot of hands. There was a lot of like talking while using hand. I think that's cool.
I liked that as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I like mouth as almost a treat to this thing where it's like, this is going to be mostly hand, but you'll like get a little bit of mouth here and there if you do what you're supposed to do. Like, I'm into that.
Yeah.
And the talking helps with that. It's like you're sort of being told, you know, if you do right and if you do what you're supposed to do, you'll get like a nibble is basically how I would describe it. There's some nibbling happening there. She looked comfortable, and that's a part of this. Sometimes you can see someone who's like, God, I hope that person has knee pads. Like, it looks this is a strain. It looks like, you know what I mean? Like, you can see discomfort in a person.
Yeah. It's, like, hard to reach up there. So, like, that you would think that would be a challenge is, like, endurance and comfort.
It's hard to find a table that tall, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the height, the height is always, like, a concern for me. I was thinking about that looking at these two videos side by side because, and we'll get to it in a second, but when she was sitting on the Sibian, I was like, oh, that props her up.
Yeah.
You know, she's actually almost got like a better angle to reach the top of the table. I was thinking briefly, I was like, we need like a milking table bunk bed situation where you put a mattress down there and get the height closed in on, but also like protect her knees.
There was also something about this that I really thought was hot when she was like, tell me what you're imagining.
Yeah.
You know, like I thought that was, that added another layer to it that I thought was, that turned me on, you know?
I like that too. That like, we can see she's doing some theatrics and stuff here, but he cannot, he can't see that. All he can do is feel and hear that.
Right.
That's fun for it as well.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I'm here for like, you know, dirty talk or like being vocal, you know, that's hot to me.
Yeah. If you can't use your eyes, anything else that you can use, I think adds to the experience for sure.
Should we talk about the milks video?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So this was my experience with both of them. So this is what I did. I tried to watch them both without judgment first, which is impossible, which was impossible for me. I also was like, oh, well, if I'm going to watch these, like, but I felt way self-conscious about, like, watching these videos and masturbating. I felt super self-conscious about that. I felt like you guys were there. I couldn't even begin to do it.
You were like, am I allowed to masturbate or do I have to tell them? And then they're going to ask me how I masturbated while I watched these videos. We constantly talk about that. It's a safe space. Like, we will sometimes, like, I mean, Rachel, more often than not, honestly, power to you, will like literally be like, I masturbated too. I obviously did. I masturbated 5 minutes ago before we like jumped on the podcast.
Before we came on this call.
It's all fair game here.
Like, I was like, and then one of them had a password, so I'm like, are they gonna know how many times I watched it? Are they monitoring the analytics on this? Like, is this recording? I don't know.
But what you're tapping into is like how many people feel just watching porn. They're like, the government is watching my girlfriend's gonna see my porn list, you know, like that stuff is like,
I'm always like, let the FBI agent watch, you know?
Yeah.
Enjoy the show.
Well, the gift of this show is that I'm like, we're watching it all, so like,
good luck.
Go ahead and search my history. Like, it's all fair game. It's it's all getting watched, you know?
It's all there. The other thing is I was never in, my friends always were like sharing videos or like mentioning the people that they liked the best or whatever. And I think it's a thrill to not know, like, I think it's a thrill to open up an app or a web browser and like not know where you're headed at that point. Like not know where you're going to end up. It's like going out one night and
looking at the menu and like seeing what sounds good, you know?
Yes. But on this one, so I was very attracted to the person who was acting.
Maya Farrell.
Yeah. I wasn't familiar with her. I don't know the names, but like I was very attracted to her. As much as possible, I love to believe that the people are not acting.
Yeah.
And I could feel, there was like 20% too much talking for me to believe she wasn't acting. There was like 20% too much performance for me to believe that she wasn't acting. And of course she's acting, but like I want to.
Yeah, there's a fine line between, like, I love dirty talk in life, but there's a fine line between like how much you believe someone needs to tell you this or like that level of communication and when you're like, she doth protest too much.
Yeah.
Like you're like bombarding me. And like, I think really hot performer, really dedicated. And like this video definitely did some things for me. I was like, oh yeah, I love that she was sitting on a Tremor. I called it a Sibian before, but it's technically a different brand.
Yeah.
But that like she was pleasuring herself and being pleasured while doing this. Like that is always a fun element to add.
Yeah.
But I agree that like it was so vocal and had a little bit of that performative thing in what she was verbalizing that I was like, you can just get to it, you know, like you can pause and tell me about it a little bit less, you know. It's a fine line. It's a really fine line.
Yeah, just to describe for our folks who are listening, it's from milk.com, Maya Farrell, and there is no storyline. It's just her. She's a big milk.com star, which is sort of like the place to go for milking table porn. Yeah, she's riding a Tremor, and it's just her having multiple orgasms, you know, pleasuring this penis for the full video.
Yeah.
And I actually thought all of the dirty talk, that was hot to me. Mm. I'm someone, like, I get bored if it's a silent porn, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I'm like, let's fill the space, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Silent, I mean, I never want silent. I like that she was pleasuring herself. However, like, I am super connected to audio sensory. And so like the noise of it was starting to fuck with me at a certain point. The noise of it made it feel like someone needs to turn the engine off or something like that. Like there's a fan on somewhere.
Yeah, you're like, this is actually fucking up our audio. Like this isn't room tone.
Yeah. And then it didn't, the set was like, it was a little garagey. It like felt a little garagey with the neon light.
They don't have as much budget as Adult Time.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know. It was a little bit more like we weren't sure like what was happening outside of the milking table. Yeah. And like, is she okay in that warehouse?
Yeah.
I also thought the angles were funny. We're like, I don't know if this solves for your audio challenge, Chad, but I was like, we could go a little bit wider so that I can see her riding the Tremor and see her milking.
Yes. That would have been nice.
Because we would lose angle on her. And we would go up to the cock and then we'd still have the noise of the Tremor, but we wouldn't like see her enjoying it. So it was like,
it took me a minute to know what was going on.
Same.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Yeah. I had to rewatch and be like, oh, okay. Got it. That's what we're doing. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also like that was a big old bulging dick. And it just breaks the dream a little bit for a moment. Like I'm just kind of like. It feels, and of course, like these are people's bodies, so I'm not trying to like,
of course,
shame.
Yeah, and also they are in this industry because of that, you know,
right,
like it's important. Like the industry needs that in order to like visually see it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It's for other reasons. It's just I don't know if you know, Chad, but they make the reason for the big dick is partially just angling, so that you can see it going in and out. Without fully like literally, so you can just barely open up and get an angle and then see it penetrating. Right. Whereas like most cocks don't do
look
that,
like
but
that.
We want that meat shot. I don't care about the meat shot, but that's why the trend exists, and that's why like. Porn performers with massive cocks work more. There is also like a whole other thing about the, you know, we could get into the patriarchy and monster cocks
the
and like fetishization. Why.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, can you give me the Cliff's notes on that? Because when I'm like, all right, I thought that the whole thing that was bad about this industry or one of the, not that the whole industry is bad, but I thought the main sticking point with what is fucked up about the industry is that it is so male-centric in the way that it behaves and in the way that it shoots things and hetero in that way. And then also I'm like, but then like, what's up with the giant dicks? Is that what men shooting and directing porn want in their porn videos? Like, what are they, what is that saying? I don't understand. It's not checking out to me. I get what you just said, Laura, about the angle.
Yeah, it's visually to see it, to see the action happening, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah. That's the primary reason. Like, and it's also one of those things of this like sort of chicken and the egg porn thing where like people come to expect it. So that's what we give them.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And everything just gets bigger and bigger and more extreme in porn. So like we start with the notion of, oh, it'd be cool if we came on this woman's stomach and we could see the ejaculate. And that's a trend for a while. We're like, we have proof of orgasm.
Right.
And the cum is taboo. But then that progresses over years and we get to bukkake. We're like, how do we do this bigger and badder? Right. So like cock sizes have like literally just exaggerated. Yeah. There's also to be something to be said for a level of, and this isn't you, but this is some porn consumers, being intimidated by the large cock and actually wanting that. Like wanting to watch porn where the cock is scary is like a whole different genre of porn.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of that. Like there's a lot of where the cock itself is almost disembodied and like it's big and it's scary and it's like destroying this woman. And that is part of the fantasy or that's part of what our subconscious brain is doing watching it or part of the kink. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
It's like why we have those monster, like there are literally dildos that look like monster dicks, you know, like right. an actual dragon like monster.
That actually just, that brought me to one other thing, which is spitting. So there's a lot of spitting in these videos and spitting for whatever reason, it doesn't do it for me. I'm like, I see that this is a thing. I see that they do it all the time in these videos. It's supposed to be like an inflection moment in what's happening, this big like hawked loogie on your junk. And I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't add anything to it for me, unless it's just purely for lubricant. But no, I see that it's part of the performance. And so there was a bit much spitting in this second one to me.
Yeah, definitely a personal preference thing. I think some people are like really into fluids. They want to see the spit. They want to see the cum. They want to see them combine. They want to see people play with that.
Yeah.
And some people are like, I don't need all that, you know, especially like for me, it kind of crosses a line when the spit and the cum become their own entity. And we're like playing with this little spit monster, this little cum creature. And I'm like, too much. That's too much. But I like spit in my real life because I genuinely want to like lube something up. And I think it can be hot in the moment to be like, let's fucking make this happen. Like we're doing it.
Yeah.
And I think similarly, like the porn trend has kind of evolved and been like, okay, as much spit as possible, spit on the, you know, like spit get it really slurpy. This is obviously leaning that way.
Okay.
There's also a different type of spit that it's like a different viscosity that happens when I'm dead serious. When you like open up your throat.
No, we've talked about this a bunch. I'm laughing because it's like you need to write the paper on this.
When you open up your throat and when you open up your throat and you deep throat and it like goes past like your soft palate and like there's a literally a different type of spit that comes out. And like you know it if you ever watch deep throat or like it happens in the milked video, you know?
It's coming from your soul.
Okay. It's literally,
or if, like you said, you've ever hocked a loogie, like the stuff that's coming up.
There's lugified. In it. I see it.
Yeah.
It's a different consistency. Yeah.
I'm not against it. I'm just like
Well, you're allowed to not like stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
we all have our preferences.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For anybody listening, ask before you spit on Chad's cock. We don't know if it's gonna be a green light.
Yeah.
You don't have to ask, but like just know that it's not gonna be a make or break thing for me. It's not gonna be a deal maker for me.
Right.
No. Yeah. We gotta communicate about these things, you know?
That's true.
People have preferences.
Just to wrap things up, did any of these videos, you know, turn you on? Do you think any of these will like make it to your spank bank? Or
knowing that you can go back and we're not going to watch your activity,
can watch them.
You're monitoring my activity. You're going to publish it. You're going to put stats out when the episode
goes
up.
We're tracking your IP address.
As someone who likes this topic, you know, like did either of these like scratch your itch or, you know?
So, all right. I watched them. I tried to watch them both in full. And the first time I literally like couldn't get through them because I was like, Rachel, Laura, and Amanda are all here. They could all see me watching these. But then this is so crazy, but I live in Queens. I walked around my neighborhood and watched them like one by one so that there was no threat of me. And I think I could actually, I think I could go for both of them, honestly.
Nice.
Yeah, I do.
That's great.
I'm not going to do the one with the password, though, because I just
it's fine. Who cares?
I'm too scared.
We literally can't, like, what are we going to see? Like, I don't think there's actually a way for us to know.
I use it all the time.
I don't know. I put tape over my camera, okay?
No, like, I don't. I'm like, go ahead.
No, I don't know.
What about you, Laura?
Yeah, actually, I think both of these have worthy material for me, which was kind of a fun plot twist. We've talked about Milking Table before, but I think like the genre is growing on me because I've like built my appreciation for it. And I always also just love to watch these things and be like, what are we doing? How are we sucking dick these days? Like any new tricks?
Always. What tricks do you got?
Gotta stay on top of the game.
It's important. Yeah,
can I ask a question? Can I ask a follow-up on that? Because you all watch so much porn for the show and talk about so much porn, do you feel like you're seeing sex evolve? Like, are you able to see trends? Are you able to see like what's changing here?
Yeah, we talk about that a fair amount. Like there's stuff that comes and goes, like Rachel called the summer of ass before anyone else did, you know, like
you.
I think we sort of live at that cutting edge. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of what we're watching is just like general porn trends of like we're seeing more content creator stuff than scene porn. People want authenticity and chemistry more than they want to see giant cocks, for example. Mm-hmm. So like we kind of pay attention to that. But I think we also just like navigate the space still looking for like what we're into and sometimes pushing those boundaries, but also going back to our like our ride or dies, our favorites, you know, our steadies.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Well, Chad, thanks so much for coming on the show. What?
Yeah. Last thing, Chad, do you want to plug anything? This is us thanking you for coming on the show, but also
what?
I thought you were like, well, thanks so much for listening to that.
I was just going to ask him.
I do want to plug. Started my Substack earlier this week. I guess when this comes out. I have no idea when this comes out. But my Substack is called Bonfire. And the first project is called Love Project, which I think is pretty straightforward. It is my fully comprehensive exploration into romantic love and the questions that we do not ask each other or ourselves about love. It consists of Q&As with me, conversations with guests. My first guest was my first girlfriend from high school, prom date.
Cute.
It includes reactions to love in pop culture and contemporary culture and just also like my writing. So if you like what I do, if you like my stuff, you'll find a lot of it there on my Substack. I'm glad you asked because I would have completely forgotten.
And where can our listeners find you?
Instagram is where you will know everything going on with me. At Chad Sand on Instagram. You can find in my link tree links to all my writing and podcasts and projects and everything that I do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming on, Chad.
Thanks
this has been a
thanks, y'all.
Wonderfully stimulating conversation.
Thank you.
Been a minute since we had a guest, so this was nice. This is nice for us.
Cool, man.
Well, hey, thank you so much for listening to Girls on Porn. You can find us on Instagram, at TikTok, at Girls on Pern. That's porn without the O. On our Patreon, patreon.com/girlsonporn. On our YouTube, youtube.com/@girlsonpern. And on our website, girlsonporn.com.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. And if you want to leave us a cheeky little 5-star review, feel free to include your Instagram handle so we can tag it and thank you.
This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually any good.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.